clear their airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis.
Hey, welcome to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis. I am here today, and one of my best buds just walked in the door, and I'm so happy to see Elliot.
I'm back.
Elliot's back. He was on hiatus. Or what was her name? Okay, anyway, and we have a fabulous guest today. We have John Armstrong, who is a lawyer, and he's with Horwitz and Armstrong, and we're going to be talking law today. But welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. We're so excited. We like legal people. We either like to abuse them or applaud them.
I like it either way.
Okay. And that's what they say. Everybody says, I like it either way. Huh, Al?
Yep. You do yoga every day.
So every day. I like it every way.
Yeah.
The news today. Did you see that, what's his name, John Bonner? Ex-Speaker of the House?
John Boehner.
Boehner?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah. Boehner, that's Boehner?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I'm sorry. Well, we know that he likes red wine and cigarettes, but now he likes cannabis. Remember back when he was adamantly against cannabis? Now he's praising it.
Yep, it's true.
What's that about?
Money.
I mean, right. But, I mean, it's so... And, wait a minute. He was so against it. He was a very strong opponent of it, and now he's saying now is the time to invest. I'm all in. I want to punch him in the face.
Well, I think, but part of what politicians do is they jump on what's
the bandwagon.
The bandwagon, what's popular. And if we look at what each of the states in the United States is doing, we presently have a majority of states that have legalized at least medical cannabis, and we have a significant plurality of states.
It's Friday.
And it's Friday, exactly. A plurality of states that have even gone as far as recreational, like states with significant populations, like California.
But see, John,
yeah,
we've known all this.
But the difference is the legal climate has changed because we actually have states that have legalized it. And so what happens is now is you have to decide where do you think the future is going to be in America? Do you think the future in America is going to be more anti-cannabis or pro-cannabis?
Pro.
And it's growing exponentially because people are tired of the senseless criminal prosecutions. Tired of the senseless depriving of people of medicine.
These people and that.
So what you're saying is like they're growing their acreage, right?
Well, it's truly a grassroots.
It was a joke because the company is called Acreage Holdings. So,
right,
you know.
Right. Very good.
Yeah,
I was fucking with you.
Very good. So and then did you see the clip of the
Is anybody buying stock in this company, by the way?
In what company?
This Acreage Holdings company.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
Pot stocks took a dump this week, didn't they?
It's only temporary.
I know. It's...
Patty, do you ever have flashbacks of Bitcoin or regret? I remember when people told me Bitcoin when it was like 20, 30 cents. I was like, oh, screw that. It was crap.
Yeah.
Look at it right now.
Like wasting your money.
Yep.
Yeah. And now, yeah. Well, the same thing with the .com boom. They're like, there's a lot of people. It's like, oh, Google, what the hell is that? What's that going to be? It's like, that's a search engine. How are you ever going to make money off that?
Well, I wanted to open a coffee shop before Starbucks, and people laughed at me. I said, I'm telling you, this is the next big thing. And everybody laughed at me that I approached.
Yeah.
And then came out Starbucks. And then I said, you're a moron.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people can't see.
There. Because isn't it terrible that we think nothing of spending $3 to $5 for a coffee even it where the five and dime that were used to be like
a nickel.
20, or 25 cents, where it was like the throwaway beverage. If you're too cheap, you know, if you like the, next to water is like coffee they're giving away. Now everybody, even how bad their coffee is, it doesn't matter.
That's it, only it's, $5? It's, mine is $7.
Well, oh, no, it's my
Starbucks.
God.
When I go to Starbucks and I get my Frappuccino made a certain way with all the extra stuff, it's $7.
But what I'm saying is you go to Denny's or you go to any like traditional diner that they have no problems charging you $3 to $5
for a cup of coffee when it used to be a quarter and their coffee, or a nickel at the counter.
And I promise you, their coffee is not Starbucks. Not all of them have
elevated
their
game. It's watered
down. Oh, yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
You got to tell them, Mickey, some strong coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a Utah senator. Did anybody see the clip?
Oh, he ate the gummy bears.
Oh, my God. He filmed himself to make a point. I love him. I want him on the show. Because I watched the clip, and you can tell he spoke before he ate the gummy bear, and then he spoke afterwards, and he was making a point like he's not dead, and you could tell he was high. It was great. I loved it. Utah State Senator Jim DeBacchus, I think that's how his name is pronounced, he challenged his fellow politicians that were to put the money where his, they challenged him to put his money where his mouth is, and he did. He traveled to Nevada, where we know it's legal.
Is he a Mormon?
I don't know if he's a Mormon. He's known for his political
Because the first
stunts.
Thing I thought of is, why would the Mormon community not want to get that money also?
The Mormon community is behind it.
They're probably behind it 500%.
Well,
because you're also dealing with the natural product, you know. So I mean, think about it. If you're a more religious person and there's something natural that's there, you know, and of course with reasonable
restrictions. Yeah, but didn't they get reefer madness?
Yeah.
Where all the, I mean, these other morons have reefer madness.
It's going to change.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember, Utah has a lot of people forget, Utah has a very independent history. I mean, remember, they were held out from like hardcore Mormonism and were basically viewed as a cult.
See, I don't.
And other states were basically like, you know, killing Mormon people in their states.
I thought they were
and
a cult.
They were forced there. And they had like their own territory. They had their own treaties with the Indians.
The Mormons.
The Mormons did before they were a state, you know. And there was a long, and I mean, they kind of fell into statehood because they got kind of landlocked, you know. I mean, so a lot of people, everybody thinks of like, you know, this fiercely independent, you know, Texas or Texans. And it's like, I think the Utah people also, they're, you know, you got to give them credit in the sense that they don't have alcohol there,
I thought.
But that's their choice. You know,
no, they're going to change that. And here's a quick fun fact.
Okay.
Right? Our friend Mitt Romney, is totally for cannabis, I just found out.
No.
So the guy he's running against to get reelected, I guess, is named Wilson. Wilson's against it, but Romney's for it. And Romney says, quote, on a YouTube video posted on sometime in May, "We need marijuana available in pharmacies ASAP."
Okay, so
is he talking about CVS?
Mitt Romney is a Republican.
Is he talking about CVS or Walgreens?
What other pharmacies?
That's
about
great.
Pharmacy, that's
no. Did you see the change? Remember the picture I showed you about the Walgreens pharmacy changing all the red in their store to green, and it's green crosses.
No.
I'm gonna show you my. I posted it, but subliminally, everyone's going toward it now.
Isn't it amazing what they put us through?
Yep. No,
what they did to... Go ahead.
Here's what's funny. There's another article about Mitt Romney.
I like Mitt Romney.
Listen to this. He's saying he supports medical marijuana, but it's not going to support the Utah Medical Cannabis Initiative. So what's that about?
Mitt Romney said
that he supports medical marijuana, but is not going to support the Utah Medical Cannabis Initiative.
I have a question. Is the Utah Medical... Okay, wait. The Cannabis Initiative in Utah, is it, like, recreational?
Let's see. We have to look a little bit more information about why.
Because I... You know what? Your listeners are going to say I'm crazy, but I'm not really for all this recreational stuff as I am for the medical stuff. Like, because I'm a medical patient.
But I'm not.
And the recreational...
I'm not a medical patient. I've never been. I've smoked pot all my life. Look at me. I'm old.
Yeah, but...
I'm also
saying it from like a smaller guy in the industry who, like, you know, we're watching our industry getting wiped out by big commercial. It's not, you know, it's like we started this, not you guys.
But like everything else, whoever has the most money wins.
Yeah.
That's who has the stores. And that's what I was telling John, you know, my hemp radio boutique's been my dream for 11 years. And other people are doing it because they have the money and the wherewithal. I don't.
You're right.
So it's whoever has the money. And you can't say, you know, you hate them. Hey, they had the money however they got it. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my God. Shout out to Walgreens. I'm going to have to tell Amanda.
I'm going to tag you in this.
This
was a change in the last 6 months because I asked the store. I said, hey, when did you guys change from red to green?
You called them.
No, I was in the store picking up my medication. And I was like, green crosses in Walgreens. What the hell?
Oh, my God. I need to check that out.
Go figure. I'm tagging you right now. Sorry about that.
I've seen a lot of green crosses lately, and I guess I didn't think about it. You know, it's like that's what people are going green.
Or it could be like a psyche thing, like it's getting new customers, but they don't really know how, but it works.
Yes, because when you see green, you think a pot.
If I see a green cross, I know what's up.
Well, anyhow, Dukakis, you have to look at the, anybody that wants to see that, go to YouTube and pull up, what is his name? Dukakis, Dabkis, Dabakis, and Cannabis. And you'll see him and he's talking and it's great.
Yeah. So I confirmed that the Utah ballot initiative is just for medical cannabis, not recreational. So and apparently what Simbler is saying is Mitt Romney's trying to play both sides of the fence. Like he says, like
he's a politician, isn't that what they do?
Wait, okay. No, but he's saying I'm in favor of.
I heard that, but can you say that again?
Yeah, okay, so the tag is like he Mitt Romney's on record as saying in a recent political debate that he's for medical cannabis, but is against the Utah initiative to basically allow medical cannabis to be legal in the state of Utah. So it's like so the thing is it's so the dicing that these politicians can play is, oh, there's something in that bill or that initiative that I don't like, but I'm in favor of it. So you're basically saying, well, you're trying to get the people who are in favor of it and then the people who are against it, you know, and that's, you know, and the problem is my view is like, you know, when you try to please everybody, you wind up pleasing nobody. And that's what the voters should do.
Can I say something that really just irritated me about Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
Because 5 minutes ago, I was like, I love this guy. And then now it's like, oh, there you go.
Just remember
with that
who
BS
he is.
Again.
He's a politician. He hated it. He wasn't, I mean, they condemned everybody that did it.
And part of
politicians only like, I mean, they only are going to do things that are going to be beneficial to them.
Right.
They don't care about you and me.
They're more concerned about winning the next election and building up that bank of money for their, you know, whatever they're planning to do, you know, much more than they are of actually doing what's right.
What I liked with Jim Dabakis said was when he popped the gummy edible in his mouth, he noting his sacrifice was for you, the taxpayers. I loved it. He had a big smile on his face and, you know, he was kind of like, his words were like a little slower. And Chris Christie had a change of heart.
That's interesting.
That big fat buck, I hate him when he was putting all the cannabis people in jail.
Right.
He made
a career of that.
He made a career of it.
Yeah.
And now he had a change of heart. He said.
Was he the attorney general? I'm trying to remember.
No.
What was
he was
the
governor of New Jersey.
But before that, he was some kind of lawyer for the state.
No. Not Chris Christie. I could be wrong. I'm not good with politics. He says states have the right to do what they want to do on this subject. You didn't win.
Okay,
so now
it.
You're changing because you want to be...
Right.
He was a federal prosecutor for the state of New Jersey before he was a governor.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
And I think he ran on an anti-
So is he on an advisory board too? Or something? Who's paying him?
Chris.
Yeah.
I don't know which. He just said he had a change. He just said states have the right to do what they want now.
But what? Okay.
He was totally against bot.
So
if he became
does that mean, is he saying, like, New Jersey's for it now?
He has nothing to do with New Jersey. New Jersey's legal.
I already know that. But he's still a hater in New Jersey.
Well, I know, but now he's backtracking from that position because what he's basically saying it's like, well, if a state wants it, then who are we to tell a state if they want to do it that they can't?
Because he sees the writing on the wall. Right. He knows that it's going to be billions and billions of dollars for New Jersey.
Well, right. And that's what I'm saying is like, so what you're seeing is now these politicians that were like anti-cannabis, staunch anti-cannabis people flipping sides.
But that's...
It's because the majority of Americans have finally kind of stood up to the politicians. Because if you look at almost how all these laws got passed, a lot of them were like California, we had a proposition initiative, right?
Right.
It wasn't our state legislature that passed something because, you know, that's not the juice. It literally went to the people to say, no, we want this. We got the signatures. We got the votes when it was forced on a ballot. And then people had to vote on it to say yay or nay. That's when the significant changes occurred. And we've seen that process repeat.
All that tells me is do not trust politicians because they flip-flop. And they don't really care.
Nope.
They don't care. No matter what they say, they're talking out of their fucking side of their mouth. Because one minute they're for it and one minute... No, that doesn't... I was never against it because I did my due diligence. I learned about it. How could you be against something that was going to serve the people in a good way?
Well, and certainly the more we learn about cannabis and especially like the health benefits, especially for people with cancer, and you see anybody who's terminally ill or in pain, you know, depriving people of medicine, you know, or people that are suffering from seizure disorders that do get a lot of benefit from especially the blends of CBD and THC. It's like if you've met any of these families, it's like you'd be like, whatever you need. You know, it's like, and thank God that you don't have to suffer what they're suffering through in their family life on a day-to-day basis. Because you just, you know, and the same thing with cancer patients. Like saying, if you had cancer and you're sick, it's like, and if you're not feeling
well, you're going to take whatever you're going
to
take.
Yeah, and it's like, give it to them. You know, give what as much as they want. Right. You know, like let them. You know, if you're going to,
but see,
let them die gracefully.
What pisses me, these people have always known.
Yeah.
The government has had a patent on it. In 1972, they knew that it cured tumors in lab rats.
Well,
it was about money, power, and greed, and that pisses me off. That's what the
politicians
are about.
But it was even before
that.
No, that's why they got rid of all the cannabis medicines back in the 1800s.
Well, but really, it's like if you look at the legislative history of the Drug Enforcement Act, especially if you're looking at like the 1950s through the 1970s. A lot of it was racially motivated because they were thinking like, hey, we know cannabis is the drug of choice for Hispanics and in the black community. And they made...
They created that.
The plan was, if we make this drug of choice of theirs, because it's cheap, easy to get, whatever else, illegal, it gives us a reason to make arrests. It gives us a reason to go into those communities and start busting people.
But then they realized it wasn't a racial thing. Cannabis is not about race.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, but it's not, and it shouldn't be. But what I'm saying is that part of the reason to make it illegal, the push was, hey, we can now, you know, because before we didn't have probable cause or reasonable suspicion to stop and detain people and maybe have our cases thrown out, is if there was cannabis present, which there oftentimes was, it gave like cops a license. And that was kind of what the thought was, is this war on drugs. And so even though cannabis was like comparatively speaking, you know, a much less evil drug or, you know, even beneficial, it was like, hey, we don't care because we were trying to go after, you know, other people or other drugs. And only we're gonna be able to do that if we have this as a kind of our in, so to speak. And that's kind of what the culture was. But the reality was, is just what you were saying, is so many more people outside of that demographic.
I smoked in the 70s, and my friend and everybody I smoked with was white.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is, it's,
I mean,
so what we're seeing now is,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I never got that it was. I lived in the East Coast. We didn't have Mexicans.
Right.
So, but you know what I'm saying?
But also,
I didn't understand that.
The odds of the cops hassling a group of white kids in the 70s was less likely than.
I watched them beat up kids in the park.
Yeah.
White cops beat up white kids. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I've seen the difference growing up here in Southern California, you know, and seeing, like, you know, cops targeting certain groups, you know, like profiling.
You know,
I mean, I've seen it firsthand, where me and my friends left alone.
I want to be with the smart people.
Yeah.
And you know what? On that note, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back, because this is heated, and I can tell Elliot's getting pissed. No, he wants to say something. Hold that thought, Al. We'll be back with more Hot Pot Topics and John and Elliot.
Yeah. Clear the airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the queen of cannabis.
Fighting America.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio, and we are on a roll today. We're real crazy. We're here with our fabulous new friend, John Armstrong, who is has the law firm.
That's easy for you to say.
Horowitz
and Horowitz Armstrong is the name of the firm.
Horowitz Armstrong. Yeah.
Can we give some props to Horowitz and Armstrong real quick? What city are you located in? Tell us about this Horowitz thing.
We're in Lake Forest. We're a business law firm. We've been around for a while. And we got involved in the cannabis legal space, or cannabis business legal space, about 10, 12 years ago now, when we had just our normal business clients saying, hey, we want to do cannabis, and if we do that, would you still be our lawyers?
Right.
And we're like, well, why wouldn't we be your lawyers? And they're like, well, you know, why don't you help us out in the legal aspects? And then we determine, like, this is really strange because we have California that's legalized cannabis, you know, and at the same time, still illegal in the federal government, which was kind of like the flip side of prohibition because, you know, federal government legalized alcohol, but then let the states decide if they wanted to legalize alcohol too. Because if a state said no, they didn't want to, it'd be a dry state. And there were dry states.
How many? Still, one.
Maybe.
Utah.
No, Utah's not dry.
Well, what's the state that's dry?
Well, I know there's some cities in Texas that are dry.
Yeah.
Because I went to the grocery store.
Utah was dry.
No, they don't drink alcohol. No, but when you're in Utah...
He said it isn't dry.
Well, because there's non-Mormons that live in Utah, too. So how it's structured is you have to buy from, like, a licensed facility. They don't have, like, you know...
Wait. You're saying in 2018, I was just there. Alcohol? Like,
yeah.
In Utah.
You can buy alcohol in Utah.
Well, it was a pain because I had to go, like, I had a limited window of time of when the alcohol shop was open when I was in Utah.
It was like five minutes.
Licensed, yeah. Yeah. It's like, and you get whatever you get. And I'll tell you, it was hopping because it's like when you got a monopoly,
you
right?
That window, man.
Yeah. Well, and they've only got certain, like, licensed facilities. So, like, you know, we go here in California to Ralph's or any grocery store, and they have like a whole liquor section. Liquor section?
Half the store.
Sure. But you go there in Utah, and I was looking around, and I see mixers. And I'm like, hey, we're going to make some drinks. We're going to spike our hot cocoa. And I see all the stuff to add to it, but where's the magic elixir, you know? And like, oh, you got to go to like the
next state, the licensed
store, you know? And I'm like, well, where's that? Well, it's over here, you know, out far away from everything. You know, it's kind of like I was going to a strip club or something, you know what I mean?
God.
So it's like,
or
way,
a pot shop.
Yeah, it's like way outside of town, but so very nice once you're inside, but also it's also very regulated. What days it's like, they're not open on Sundays. You know, they're open shorter window on Saturdays, so I guess a lot of people do is like you just stock up, you know, you go, yep, and then and hide out. But that was crazy. Yeah, I mean, so if you're traveling to Utah, bring your own liquor, save yourself a headache.
So you can
razor.
Oh, yeah. Will they search your car? And if you got caught in your car, will you die?
No, you'd be fine. Yeah, you'd have to smuggle a lot of liquor before you start breaking federal interstate laws.
Okay. So I thought, dumb me, I thought the whole state was dry.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I didn't know that you could drink in...
No, but see, this is what's kind of interesting, because we look at... this kind of goes to the Constitution, right? Because one of the things that everybody in law school learns about is the Commerce Clause, which basically says that Congress has the power to regulate interstate commerce. And the issue is, it's like, well, if Congress has the power, then it poses this question. It doesn't say anything about the state's abilities to regulate interstate commerce, which means, you know, money for lawyers, because that means people litigate the issue when a state can regulate something that affects interstate commerce and interferes with Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce. And so a lot of times Congress has to decide, like, what the states or how much states can regulate. And so, like, for example, like the federal law that enables, you know, basically decriminalizes alcohol at a federal level, lets the states decide how they want to do it. And what most states have done is said, okay, well, we'll, if they've legalized it, they'll actually leave it up to the individual cities. If a city wants to be dry,
see, that's what the confusion is.
Yeah.
You leave it to the states, and the states say leave it to the cities.
Yep.
You know, and I say this every show, and I'm going to say it again. We have 34 cities in Orange County. We have one legal city.
Crazy.
So I don't know what to say. It just thinking of that makes me insane.
It's a hard thing to kind of wrap your mind around. And I said, now in California, what we've done now is, now that's the federal model with alcohol. And so in California, we've kind of got the reverse situation where the feds still technically have it illegal, but the state has said, hey, you know, we're totally fine with it, you know. And the reality is that historically for criminal law enforcement on the federal level, they've had to work with local authorities because they don't have enough, like, you know, federal police to go out and bust people, whatever else. And so a lot of times it was like the local police had a bust, and then they'd work with the local federal prosecutors about whether someone's going to get tried federally or by the state for these various crimes or whatever else, and then kind of worked, you know, hand in glove. And one of the things that's happened with California decriminalizing is California basically, you know, kind of told the feds, you know, F you, we're no longer going to help out on these cannabis. We're not going to spend the time,
money, and
resources.
Yeah, when did they say that, John?
Well,
yesterday.
No. I mean, that's right. Not too long after.
That's
California,
what Colorado said. I don't. Yeah. You're not coming to get my people.
Yep.
Because I'm behind them.
Well, California
and
said the same thing.
No, they didn't.
They did.
No, they didn't.
They
because
really did.
Colorado is built up and has fabulous dispensaries, and California doesn't.
California is not working with the federal government on doing that, but California certainly could do a lot more to help and support the cannabis business statewide and on a local level.
It's so trash here in California. I mean, come on,
come
bro.
On.
We voted for it. I mean, yeah, the bill's shit, but
look at Canada.
Hey, there should be more safe access everywhere. It's trash.
Yeah.
It's Canada is a country. It's the second legal country.
Didn't they pay their debt off in one day?
Well, in Mexico,
yes.
Mexico, I think, is going to be ahead of us on a federal level because Mexico is
they're
going green.
They're going green.
Yeah.
I mean, Mexico.
Oh, didn't the president go visit Canada?
Pardon me?
Didn't the Mexican president go visit
Canada?
Yes, he did.
Or
yes,
send
he
some
did.
Kind of ambassador
yes.
to go figure out their cannabis
yes.
structure?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Smart.
Very smart. They know. Watch, Mexico.
Hey, Mexico's gonna build their own wall. I'm gonna say, get the fuck out of here. Don't come over here.
Yep.
Oh, hell no. Nah. Beat it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right, Al.
Like I said, they're fuck
gonna,
you, USA.
They're gonna build their own wall. And I applaud them because Mexico's, they're gonna be the next country. I really, really think so. Because, you know, Canada's gangbusters now, man.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's just crazy and it's fabulous. I'm so excited for them.
Yep. We're seeing right now in the business community, we're seeing a lot of...
I just want to be Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, when I seen that quick article, real quick,
well,
I seen an
I'm
article talking about...
Where are you?
I am. My
which
mom,
half?
Nice. My mom. My mom is a Canadian. She actually a green card.
Where is she from?
Vancouver.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember that article where it said the Toronto Police Department could smoke on their time off? No, seriously.
That's awesome.
Do you think it's like that for all the police departments in Canada? Because they officially said that. The Toronto PD, when they're not working, they can use cannabis.
I'm sure that's going to be a local jurisdiction to local jurisdiction issue.
Yeah.
But usually what happens
Toronto's
is
so damn trendy. They had
to be
the first.
They're like ahead. Right, of course.
In
Canada, Toronto's kind of like they're New York, right?
Yeah. I'll never forget the first time I went to Toronto. There was not a cigarette butt on the street.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a piece of dirt on any of the streets when I was there in the
mm-hmm.
early 70s.
Yep.
It was the cleanest city I'd ever
seen.
They care
about
Well, it's amazing. Universal health care coverage in Canada, and yet the country is not bankrupt. So, I mean, how is that?
Okay.
Amazing?
They're about to come up, too.
How do they do what they do?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, it shows you it can be done. I mean, that's...
Well, we know it can't be done.
Right, well...
You can't have morons running your country, though.
That's true. Yeah. Well, and apparently the United States is not smart enough to figure that out.
Or they don't want to.
Yeah, well...
You know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, what I think it's kind of funny now is it used to be the dream, like we'd say in America, it's like any child growing up could grow up to be president one day. And I think after this present administration, I think the question should be posed, it's like, maybe that's not a good thing. Right? Maybe everybody shouldn't grow up to be president. Maybe right. some people, that's
well,
not in
you
your
know,
skill
since,
set.
Since Mr. Trump's crying about jobs, I just heard him say with this whole Saudi deal, that's why they're not being so tough with the government, is because they want that arms deal so they can put whatever the billions and billions of, I don't remember the number, but I do remember how many jobs he was going to create, and he was like, oh, we're going to create
with guns.
1 million jobs. And it's like, bro, you could legalize
selling
cannabis.
Selling weapons to them?
Saudi, yeah.
Why are we selling, so they can
the
kill
Middle
us?
East. No, so they can kill, I think, the Yemenis or whoever the Saudis are slaughtering back in the Middle East, which is...
Yeah, that's why
terrible.
The guy that they killed, they're not really... Like, everyone else in the world is tripping off of it, but not us. It's like, oh, I still want this deal, so I don't want to start shit with you.
Wait a minute. They killed, slaughtered, butchered...
They brought a bone saw and chopped that,
I mean,
chopped that guy
and,
up.
And lied about it
I mean, come
repeatedly.
On.
I mean, here's the thing. I remember when they said...
Did you see the body double? That shit was great. They showed the body double side by side. One guy had dark hair. The real guy was bald. The real guy had nice shoes. The fake guy was wearing some runner shoes. Like,
what is
wrong
with
dude.
Us?
They planned that shit.
Well, I mean, some people would
money.
Say...
Money.
As a legal person.
But it's the pursuit of that almighty dollar. You know, I mean, that's always been the American way. I mean, at the end of the day, American politics is money-driven. It always has been. And people, at the end of the day, more than anything else, vote pocketbook. It's very hard to get people... to do even what's right if their financial
because
interests are affected at all.
That's how we schooled them. That's
well, right.
what we taught them.
Well, that's our culture.
Yeah.
That and the problem is that even if that's not officially taught anywhere, that's kind of like the conventional wisdom.
Now, the cannabis law now is different than it was 10 years ago.
Markedly so.
Right. Because 10 years ago, we were going to all the court cases because everybody was being put in jail. And, you know, it was horrible because, I mean, there were some gangsters that should have been in jail. And there were some really good people that shouldn't have been.
Correct. Yeah.
And now we're past that. Or are we? What's happening now?
Oh, it's a lot less. And there's actually presently a movement... In the California legislature to try to further like expunge criminal records from people that have any type of cannabis past. And in fact, what's interesting is that some of these local jurisdictions like Los Angeles with this idea of social equity, like if you start up somebody who's a qualified social equity candidate, and oftentimes those people are someone who might have been convicted for cannabis-related crimes, but they were, especially if they could show that they were trying to do it for cancer patients or something like that, that you kind of get this free pass, and can get started up in a nonprofit business, whatever else. And if you help a nonprofit business person who's got this social equity player in it, that they'll get a priority when you're trying to get your own license for private in Los Angeles,
But those for people that were in jail.
Yeah.
What about people that weren't in jail? Well, what if I want something?
I
get nothing.
There's a whole LA has a program where you could qualify for social equity.
Everybody has
programs
for people. What about the normal people that need shit?
But see, you're getting back to, like, we're here in Orange County, right? And so in Orange County is, you know, we're not as forward-thinking in the cannabis as Los Angeles.
Why aren't they?
Because we're not, a couple reasons. Part of it is we're not as densely populated, and also that there's a lot of, we're a lot more conservative. You know, I mean, that's just...
I'm not.
Well, issue by issue, but I'm saying overall, I mean...
Is that why they called it the Orange Curtain?
Yes, it is.
I always laughed at that because I thought...
Well, and also there's, I mean, if you look at the history of Orange County, I mean, especially like Anaheim, founded by Germans, right? So this is not the... Anaheim is German for Santa Ana River home. That's what Anaheim means. And so that was a... historic part of Orange County with its agricultural roots, but you have this like white Germanic law and order kind of base, and you kind of develop a culture in that you don't really stamp that out. I mean, what happens is Orange County is becoming a lot more diverse, a lot more populated, and as it becomes more dense and more populated, it gets a lot more different ideas, more economic opportunities, and it starts to look and feel a lot more like Los Angeles. But it's still... at its core, that's still that kind of conservative farmer mentality, especially if you were to pull people...
But there aren't farms here anymore.
But there were.
They should have hemp farms.
But I'm saying that's the aging of the population. So I think in 20 years, the demographics is going to be totally different because in 20 years, there'd be very few people that had farms. But I remember, you know, having grown up here in Orange County.
Oh my God!
That there were orange groves,
strawberry fields. That's what I loved when I first moved.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I can't incriminate myself. But this was like 30 years ago, but I grew up in Irvine, right?
Yeah.
And you used to drive toward like El Toro,
all over the place,
and you just get out your car and go get all the strawberries you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Get buckets of strawberries.
Nobody cared.
Nope.
Yep. Nope.
And they were the best strawberries.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I remember.
Why did they take them all away? I mean,
because they wanted to build homes.
The land is so valuable.
I know, but
Irvine Company.
Yeah.
I hate them. Yeah. I really do. I applied for a job there, and they asked me how old I was, which is totally illegal.
Correct. Yeah, you're not supposed to ask that.
So, I hate them.
Yeah.
They're not good people, as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, where do we get all our strawberries now?
Well, from further away, and of course, this ties back into the immigration issue.
But we still have them.
Which is another hot button for
that's
a lot of people.
That's the problem with having a lawyer.
Yeah.
What?
Well, because the thing is, a lot of times they were using migrant farm labor because it was cheaper to pick strawberries, and you have a hard time getting like college kids to go do that.
Well, because if you didn't have the migrant workers and the kids needed a job, I remember when I was really, really young, we used to go pick green beans, mm-hmm. and we'd get paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, the thing
we didn't have Mexicans. There were all white people there doing that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, but see, they don't want to pay what it costs to get white kids to go do that. And a lot of those kids today, I mean, if you've hired anybody who's, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years, they're not going to do hard manual labor.
No, they're not doing any labor.
And if you expect them to do that, then they expect a hell of a wage.
But see, I think that's here.
Well, that is here. But this is also, strawberries have to be picked here because they have a very short shelf life.
Right,
so it's,
right.
So if you want that, you have to figure out, where's that labor pool going to come? You can't do it through machines. They don't really have an ability.
That picks a strawberry really nice.
Yeah, exactly. They can't do that, so it's got to be done by hand. So one of the problems with completely shutting down any type of immigration or migrant farm, you know, support is it does make it does affect the agriculture.
Right.
And California, what a lot of people forget is the whole middle and northern part of the state, and even there's still significant chunks here, we have these agricultural pockets, and a lot of the food that grows here in California is literally shipped all over the United States and all over the world, because we can grow a lot of things
year round,
which most people can't.
Right.
You know, and we can regulate it, and we've got the technology and whatever else. But one of the things we need is it's also labor dependent, and so the issue is like, where are you going to get that cheap labor pool?
Okay, let's get back to the cannabis and what do you see is the most, what are you doing the most of as far as cannabis law? Is it, we know you're not arresting people, I mean, there's not a lot of court cases, but what is your focus?
Well, I mean, my focus is really trying to help the industry grow. You know,
and how do you do that as a lawyer?
And I do that as a lawyer because the more business contacts I make, I have a pretty massive network. And right now, unlike any other business in the cannabis space, there's no like B2B network. I mean, business to business network. There's not a business to business yellow pages. And so it's a lot about who you know.
Right.
And a lot of times you have these groups of people that don't know that other groups even exist or where to even find them to make the connections. And what I see a lot of my day is helping people make those connections. And then I wind up doing the contracts and everything else for them as
these things progress. So most of your work is doing contracts and for grows and buildings.
And licensing compliance.
Okay.
And then also as part of the defense side is that anytime that anybody has any type of successful cannabis business going, they have problems with employees, competitors, city or local regulators and whatever else.
Yeah, well, let's do what they used to do like 50 years ago. Give them money, tell them to shut up.
Yeah, it's...
Doesn't that work in this business?
Well, because there's so much...
It's still small.
Well, it is still small, but, you know, an example, like one of the clients that we had that we got a great result for was Jaden's Journey. Kind of Northern California, that's kind of internationally known for Jaden's Juice, which is like a CBD elixir that they do.
Oh, right. Okay.
For kids that have seizures, and the principal owners of that dispensary both have kids that have severe seizure disorders. And that's how they got into cannabis, because they were thinking like trying to do something to make their kids' lives better, you know. And so they're very passionate what they do. And one of the things in the county that they were in that was regulating the dispensary is that they said, well, we're going to redo everybody to make everybody reapply, because we're going to open it up and we have so many licenses, you're going to get scored, whatever else. And then they wound up, for a variety of different reasons, getting a fairly bad score, even though they were a very good and reputable dispensary. And so that's, and through another lawyer friend of mine, you know, said, hey, if you had a problem like this, then, you know, John Armstrong is a guy you want to talk to, you know, because he would be able to help you. And so one of the things that I did, which I wasn't, you know, too surprised that this happens, because I see this a lot, especially in governmental compliance, is I said, okay, let's first pull all of the county's regs that they had, what they said that they wanted, and then let's look at what the score they had, and let's see if there are things that our clients got knocked down on their score for that they didn't ask for in their regs.
Okay.
And I found numerous instances of that, you know. So the point being is like saying, wait a minute, you said here's what the rules of the game are, my client complied with it, and then you came up with new and additional
things. Hold on, we're going to take a short break, because this is what pisses me off the most about this industry, and it's happened from day one. We'll be right back with John and more Hot Pot Topics.
Clear the airwaves for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the queen of cannabis.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio. We're having such a fabulous day today. My best bud, Elliot, is here. Say hey, 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 El.
Oh, we're going to be catching up on normal news.
Oh, okay, good. We'll do another show.
Wait.
And we have our new best friend, John Armstrong, with Horwitz and Armstrong, law firm or legal firm?
Law firm.
And I'm so crazy, crazy, crazy about this, because this is what they've done since day one. They said it was legal, and they didn't give any laws. And then, like, every once in a while, they'll come out with something, but they change shit in midstream. How are you allowed to do that? I don't get it.
Okay, let me break it down for you. There's two perspectives here. There's the people have to comply, and then there's the people that are trying to make the rules and regulations to try to basically protect public safety. That's what their charge is. And there's a struggle, because cannabis is politically popular, and so these agencies are learning. And the problem is they're very, very much ignorant.
Slow,
and they're very ignorant about the whole process of cannabis. And as they are getting more and more educated, they're thinking of things that they should be having in their rules and regulations.
Right, but they keep setting people up to fail. And I think they need to be held accountable for that. You're a lawyer.
Right.
You tell me this, and then all of a sudden, he changed his mind and nobody told me that new law. You, as my lawyer, how are you going to protect me?
Well, they can't do that.
But that's what they do.
So what you have to do is, whoever this, if it's the city or the county that's pulled that, you have to first go to them and tell them, like, hey, you can't do this because you changed.
Really? Have you tried to do that as a cannabis person?
I've done.
They think you're a criminal. You're a lawyer.
Right. Well, that's sadly, you know, that's what you need, right? That's the idea of a lawyer is an advocate on behalf of somebody else, because it's like, hey, you know, somebody kind of calling them on their own rules. And like I was talking about the story with Jaden Sterney, it's one of the things I found that was interesting is that things they got downgraded for not having certain items that the county had not even requested.
How could they do that?
They can't, but their thinking was, they just learned about, hey, we should have some type of air quality management plan as part of what this dispensary is doing. So if we see a plan, you know, we give points. If we don't see one, we take away points from somebody, even though that's not even something they asked for. And the reason is what some lawyers have done, and to a certain extent, since our law firm has done a number of these license applications, one of the things that we do is, like, we kind of know what a lot of the other municipalities and counties and what the state are looking for and even are going to be asking for ahead of time, right? Because we're on top of...
That's why you... Right. You have to go through a lawyer.
So what we do is when we do a license application, we anticipate... They haven't asked for this yet, but they're probably going to ask for it.
Right,
so this
right.
is what we want you to do. So you're going to be ahead of the game. And also, so if you're like, if you're thinking of like a horse race, right? So what we're trying to do is spike the horse. So it's like saying, okay, if it's neck and neck, we do things to make your application look that much better. So what happened for Jaden's Journey, for example, is they didn't have that expertise. They had the information. It wasn't packaged appropriately. And the county was dinging them for things that they didn't ask for. And when we did the appeal with them, I remember one of the things that got brought up, for example, was, well, you know, we asked for an air quality management plan, you know, and they didn't have one. And so that's one of the reasons. And we were told by the Board of Supervisors that everybody had to have one of those. And I said, well, that's great. But if you looked at your regulation, that's not what you asked for. What you asked for, you said, describe your HVAC system, which is heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and how it affect the health of the employees. Doesn't say anything about having an air quality management plan. So pointed out that saying, hey, you can give extra points to somebody that hired a civil engineer and did a full 30-page report, but you can't dock somebody points in their license application for something you never asked for and for something that I could probably write in two sentences, you know, based on the regulation that you put out to the public and said that you wanted. And so what they did was, because I called them on numerous things like this, and it wasn't so much that I think that there were bad people. What it was is, as they were learning more about how to regulate cannabis, they were trying to throw into the review process, like, hey, you should look for these things in the application. But the problem
but see,
is...
they should be working with you. They should be saying, hey, here's the laws, and we're learning like you.
Yep.
We're not going to fine you. Let's do this together.
That needs to be more of the attitude.
They attack you.
Yes.
They fine you. They make you crazy. You think you're going to fucking jail.
Yep.
They scare the shit out of your family.
Yeah, and I so mean, and on that,
how do we stop that?
Well, I mean, part of it is what the two-prong attack is, like you can get lawyers, and then the other part is the grassroots where you actually get people emailing
with
people
big mouths like me.
Yeah.
And on them.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's about votes, right? So
right.
if you can establish that there's, and the thing is, even in this political climate where I think a lot more people are becoming more politically aware just because we have such more divisive politics in the last several years than we've
had
in centuries.
And we have social media.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what people can read.
Yep.
Hey, 100 years ago, no, but there was no, you had to wait for the fucking town crier, right?
Right.
Or whatever.
No.
And now it's. You could watch it. I watch the car chases.
Yep.
FYI, my favorite things in California. I love it. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that you know, people used to take a daily paper.
I always did.
And now
I
it's
love
like,
it.
And now you can get so much information, or you can actually follow the journalists on Twitter to get your news like as
I know,
raw as
but
it possibly
I still
can be.
Like to lay in bed on Sunday and read a couple newspapers.
And
I love
that. But I don't think that's the majority of people anymore.
Right.
I think everybody's information is what they got on their phone.
Right. Exactly.
If it's not
and
on their
I
phone.
Do too. As soon as I get up, bang, I don't put the TV on. I look at my phone to see exactly what just happened while I was sleeping.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're seeing that the information flows a lot
faster. So why, and I say this a lot and I hate to be repetitive, but I am. Why don't they go to see a place that everything works great? Take that model and tweak it. That's all. It's easy. How easy is that?
It's conceptually, it's not that hard, but what it does do is it means somebody stopping doing their job to go.
No. Just like Elliot said, the Mexican, whoever the guy was in Mexico, went to Canada. To see what they were doing. And he went back and probably said, oh my God, guys, we're stupid. We're going to be doing that because we're going to be a rich country now.
Well, but okay.
Right?
On that note, I will say that there are a number of trade organizations that educate cities and counties about how to regulate and kind of like the do's and don'ts and good practices. But there's a lot that gets lost in translation.
Right. You tell 10 people something from the first one to the last one, it's going to be completely different.
So part of that is we're seeing the growing pains. It's like saying these cities and counties, they're trying and they're struggling to kind of get to speed, because they feel like, and the problem that they have is they know on the one hand, if their city or county has legalized cannabis and everybody's expecting these great tax revenues, that there's a lot of pressure to get these things done. On the other hand, if anything goes wrong, they know it's their ass in a sling. So they want to be extra cautious that it's not nothing bad's going to happen on their watch or because of something they did or did not do. That's the tension.
All I say is it's new to them. We know a little bit more, a lot more than they do about it, because we've been doing it. I've been an activist for 40 years, you know, since college. I know more than that moron that said it was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew people in the 70s that had cancer, and that's what they used it for. You know what I'm saying? I guess it was the witch doctor medicine. I don't know, but they say things, they don't do their due diligence, they do no research, they just say stupid things. I heard Dr. Phil, I am so incensed, and I still haven't written a letter. My girlfriend watches it. I'd stopped over her house to smoke a joint one afternoon, and he was on, and this guy had that, when you hurt your head, you have that TCI or TMI or whatever the hell it is, and, you know, he said, after all was said and done, they were talking, he said, you should never, ever use cannabis. That's the worst thing that you can use for, it does, and you, I flipped out because I said, because I sent Gupta a letter when he said all the bad shit, and I and Dr. Oz, I sent him a 40-page letter when he said cannabis wasn't good. And they made retractions, not because of me, because 5,000 of me sent the same letters.
Right. So you got to go where your bread's buttered.
No. That means they know more than you do.
Well,
an educator. That tells me they know more than you do. And you're a fucking doctor, and you're saying, listen to me. Hold on. Listen to me because I'm this great doctor. And and then they made a retraction and said, we're really sorry, but what we said was wrong.
Well,
so I'm not going to believe anything you say. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think that's a good policy, because
you got to go tell the doctors what the information
is. I write letters, but I haven't gotten to Dr. Phil.
And kudos for people for making retractions, because it's like
I agree.
You know, so because otherwise,
why do you say something as a, you're supposed to be quotation marks doctor, and you're making a statement that is not true?
Because in their defense, that is part and historically been part of what the training was.
We're talking about 2020.
They don't have training for cannabis or anything. You got to look, new literature. Let's say you go to Harvard Medical Law or whatever.
30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Every day, as Dr. Phil does, listen to me.
He's old school.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I have to take care of him. You're both right, because I had to vent. I was so crazy all week after that
show.
But
then what would happen if you talked to like a new school or a younger doctor who's like more with the times?
Well, right. So the thing is, you're talking...
Millions of people go by what he says.
Right.
That's what I hate.
Because Oprah likes him.
Well, but and again,
she knows about
podcasts. You're also dealing, say, when we're talking about, you know, what someone's strengths are, if someone like, when I talk about medical training, it's like you're talking about if someone's been practicing medicine for 40 years, I mean, that means 40 years ago they were in med school, and what was the standard then, and what was the textbook?
It's changed. And, that disease is passe.
It is.
Gone, cured.
And the thing is, unless they're actively practicing in a particular area, they may not be getting up to speed on all the latest journals or whatever else. And so what happens is when they say something out of line and all of a sudden they get all this blowback, they do the research, and I think you get the retraction because they're like, you know what?
He talks now, just like a lawyer.
Now that I'm seeing
he's
what the information
is for all sides.
But part of it, that's part of reality.
No, I understand what he's saying. Even if you don't agree, it's like, fuck,
right,
I get it.
That's right. And what scares me to death.
It's like the Republicans, I fucking disagree, but I kind of understand.
Yeah, but the thing is like I'm saying, is it's very dangerous when somebody's so dogmatic that I'm saying this and I can't ever be wrong and I won't even acknowledge that I might be wrong.
That's what they preach
change.
The politicians, though. Yeah, yeah. You know, Trumpy Dumpty hated Ted Cruz. Now he's hugging and kissing him. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, they're having a makeout session. Both of them.
romance.
It's sick what's happening on the news this week between those two.
And well, there is pure
they will do anything
I would
to stop Beto O'Rourke. If I were a Texan. He'll sell his wife.
Yeah. She'll clean your house.
I'll need you.
All the bad stuff.
Yeah.
It's called politics.
Dude, we have a week. Is everybody voting out there, by the way? Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Vote. We don't give a shit what your stance is. Just go
right,
vote.
Just vote, okay? Man. It's all
you're mad about something. So go exercise your vote.
If you don't
vote.
Like it, then you gotta speak up.
You have to vote.
And your vote counts.
And for those people who are minorities, and especially women, just go vote. You didn't used to have the right to go vote. Remember it was only white men? Okay.
No, it wasn't just...
Black men had the vote before women.
Well, I'm saying, but there was a time before
don't
black
ever
people.
Say that to me.
Hey, black people yeah. couldn't vote.
You voted
either.
Before me.
Well, it used
you
to
had
be.
That right before I me, was, and you're bitching because you're
I was,
black.
What do you mean? I was born in the
well,
80s.
Remember, I mean, actually, if you look at the history of voting, the people who could
before
vote
my
initially,
time.
You had to be white and own property to vote. So if you didn't have, if you weren't like a landed aristocrat, then you did not have the right to
well,
vote.
I'm not an aristocrat. And look up my dome.
And then they well, say you had to own land back in the day.
It was,
and all
yeah, no, it was.
Stuff.
So
okay,
it was
right.
Voting
we've
was a privilege.
We've got to push the vote. Yeah. We really yeah. do. You guys have to vote. You can't bitch about things. If you want to change them, you can. And every, just like Elliot said.
Well, and what's really important counts. Is these elections, like this midterm election, like when you vote, when you talk about your vote counting, it counts more than other elections because usually there's lower voter turnout. But these are elections that are not determined by some other political body that's going to like overrule what your vote is. Your actual vote, like what's going to make the difference between a proposition winning or losing or this candidate winning or losing.
Local voting is more important.
Is,
I mean,
is direct,
seriously.
It's pure direct
okay,
democracy.
Example, right? You said the 34 right. cities in Orange County.
Right.
Imagine if every pothead went and voted locally. Remember
but
back in the day, I used to
just,
go in all the pot shops, and it's like, why aren't you having a big ass sign to say go vote for?
Or have you registered? Or let me help you register.
It's crazy.
Or tell you where to go register. I mean, yeah. Most people get the.
Nobody cares, but everyone has an opinion. I tell those people, you didn't go vote.
Well,
shut up.
Well, you know, yeah, yeah. I just think that you know you need to go out there and vote. Everybody should voting, however, by mail, by phone, by. Do they still have the voting booths?
Yeah, I think so. Some locations.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Oh, does wait. Everybody follow all of our cool stuff online?
I don't know.
You know, we got Hemp Radio Facebook. We have Hemp Radio Instagram. We have Hemp Radio website. All of our listeners who love us, you can go donate on our website.
Come on, Al. Beg for money. We need it.
We need all your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys want to join and be part of the movement, you know, go to normal.org, join your local chapter, click on the tab called Chapters.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you, John?
Usually it's through somebody they know.
Right.
Because we, if you, I mean,
I know him, call me. He's fabulous.
And it's really, because like we don't actually.
Those are the best. Kind to know because yeah. I was going to ask you. I was like, okay, well, I'm on your website. Where does it say cannabis
it
anywhere?
Doesn't say it because
see, but yeah, see, but you're probably the best people to work with.
Well, that's the thing. And people, actually, a lot of people in the cannabis
I bet you
like
some
that.
Of those like attorneys who yeah. are like pro are like a target too,
sure,
to some degree.
Well, there are, and the thing of it is one of the reasons why we haven't done that is I view cannabis as just like one aspect of business,
right.
So, because if you have an employment law problem, you have an employment law problem. All you really have is a cannabis overlay. If you have a regulatory problem because you're a cannabis business with the city or county or whoever, it's you have that problem with a cannabis overlay. Because I've got a number of clients that have had the same issue, just a different industry.
Right,
and,
right.
And part of that
exactly.
is, and part of that is starting to, and I'm trying to say is that.
It's changing.
It's changing, and yes. people shouldn't discriminate and be wary of somebody's like, oh, all I do is cannabis law. It's like, well, then all you do is law. I mean, that
right.
is...
Right, it's
that,
right, it, law. It's, that's a new division of law.
Right. So that's like, right. So that's like one speciality. You know, it's like saying, okay, so you've got experience in the cannabis space, but that's not something that we really tout, but,
right.
but people in the know or people in the business know it's like, oh, if I need a good business lawyer, you know, this is that that's
right.
where we're
and if
yeah.
anybody out there needs a good business lawyer,
yeah.
the website is Horwitz
Armstrong.com
.com.
Yeah.
And you're fabulous. Thank you so much for coming today. And there's so much information. You have to. Will you come back?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God. Elle, I'm so glad to see you. Do you have anything else to say?
I'm glad to be here. It's always a pleasure, Miss Patty.
I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you guys for listening, man. Check out the website. We have over 285 shows.
Woo!
Yes. Do I get a prize for anything? Being alive.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a gift.
Every
and
day.
On that note, it's time to blow this joint.
And hit this dab.